off the ball.
Rugby.
Like, it's very hard when you're on the back foot, particularly you're being dominated, giving away so many penalties, to get a foothold in with the referee.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
But now she's done it for herself. She's done it for a nation. She has done it for Ireland. Lara Gillespie is the European champion on top of the continent.
Gillespie's going to make a real fight of this. She's bidding for the title and she's going to get there. Lara Gillespie, world champion. How good does that sound?
Being a world champion and being the best in the world to me are different ideas. But yeah, I want to be the best in the world. The day before, I was singing the national anthem in my head just to prepare myself mentally. You're in school with people who have completely different lives, where they do have extra money, they go on holidays, they are getting new runners or whatever, and then you're there like, oh, whatever. Like, you know, it's a bit of comparison, but then in hindsight, I'm really grateful that I had that background. That's not why I do it. That's not what motivates me in the morning. I just love what I do.
You mentioned your troubled childhood and you had an illness a couple of years ago that kind of set you back in your sporting career. Have you taken time to be proud of where you are now? You're back in Ireland. How's it been? How's the reception been since you've returned home?
Amazing. I always love going through the passport control in Ireland and hearing an Irish voice. It's very comforting. But I haven't seen my family yet.
You haven't seen your family yet?
No, I got in really late and had to go straight to the airport hotel, come here early. So,
when do you get to see them?
My mom picks me up around 2. So a few hours.
People didn't get to watch it live, but the reaction after it must have been pretty overwhelming back home. What was that like?
Yeah, so cool. I think a lot of people, were really happy to see it and really, like, proud to feel it as well, because a lot of people have also been a part of this and helped me get through hard years, hard months, hard weeks. And so it matters to all those coaches who first got me into the sport, family members and family friends who got me into the sport. And, that feeling is really good, because then I can feel like I gave back something, and they gave me equipment, they gave me opportunity, confidence, and all these amazing opportunities. And that's something I'm so grateful for, and to see them happy and, you know, also able to celebrate with me, even if it's from afar, that's a really cool feeling.
I might ask you a bit about that later on, but I kind of want to stay with the aftermath of the gold medal, when I think you had some time off. Finally, you're in training camp first, was it straight after the World Championships, but then you got some time off. What was that like, finally getting to unwind? Because it is quite a long season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I went straight to boot camp in UAE, and the team were really, it was really nice actually, because they also really celebrated the track win, even though it's a road team, they really celebrated it and supported it, and that was really cool. And there was a couple of us with jerseys. And then I went on holiday. I was a bit sick, because of course when you finally relax after a whole year, and I haven't really had a proper off season in like 2 years since I was sick a few years ago, so that was just nice to unwind. I didn't bring my bike. I was just, you know, having a bit of normal life, going for walks, going for hikes, going for swims, and not thinking about sport, and not even thinking about being a world champion, just thinking about relaxing and enjoying life, which is really cool.
That's important though, isn't it, to unwind completely and just detach from it all?
I think I'm quite good at it, because I like just going out in nature, and anyway, my job of being a professional athlete, it feels, I'm happy going out every single day. I'm doing what I dream of doing, or what I'm, if I could think of my most perfect day, I would be doing what I'm doing, where I'm just going out into the mountains, into the forests, and training. So it's not that I'm like super in this stress bubble the whole time, but I think after a big year like that, and after having a big goal like that and completing, you know, ticking off my big goals of the year, then actually having the priority to fully rest is really important, I think, for your whole cycle of training load, stress load. Yeah, it's really important for longevity.
Does that give you time to kind of digest it all? I know we talked the week of you winning the gold medal, and you hadn't fully kind of been able to grasp it, because you still had a race to come. Have you been able to digest it now with the couple of weeks? Like, do you feel like a world champion now?
I don't know. I guess being a world champion and being the best in the world to me are different ideas, and I still am not the best in the world. And yeah, my boyfriend's like, oh, you're a world champion, and I'm like, yeah, I know, but, and it's not that I'm not appreciating or I'm not soaking it in, but it's where I don't know how to explain it really, but
it's really interesting though. like it is
there's I'm really happy where I'm at, and I'm really happy with progressing, and but yeah, I'm not like sitting back like, oh, I'm a world champion like this.
Yeah.
I'm just like, that's really cool. I definitely earned it and I worked really hard for that, and all the people who helped me, like, that's such a cool achievement. But yeah, I want to be the best in the world.
And what makes you the best in the world then? When
that consistency that you're like going into the race and you're winning multiple times. Like, for example, after the Worlds, after the elimination race, I will say my body was really on its last legs. Before the Tour de France, I had a bad crash on my coccyx and on my sacrum, and I was like, 1 month before track Worlds, I was like, oof, am I gonna make it? Because I was having to like cut off sessions like at the end, because I could barely sit on the saddle, or I was coming off the track bike and I was like, oh, I can barely walk because of the pain that I was having. But then, yeah, so then after the elimination race, my body was just like, okay, now you can be in full pain again. Yeah. And then I had a lot more pain and just, yeah, fatigue. So, yeah, I think being the best in the world is being able to win like that and then showing up a couple of days later and be able to win again. That's the goal.
'Cause some people may know you for your track exploits. Some people may know you for your road exploits. You have to balance both, regardless of what people see, you're both. How do you find that and managing not only the pain factor and the toll it takes on your body, but even just mentally?
I love it. I love the switch, because, well, for me, I want to get on a different bike every day. Today I want to go mountain bike, tomorrow I want to go track bike, the next day I'll go on the cross bike, and then eventually I'll go on the road bike. I love road racing, but if I can train on off-road, like not even on the track, if I can train off-road, I train every day. So for me, it's just what my brain likes. I also like, for example, when I got injured, and just before the tour, and I thought, oh, maybe I can't do the tour. Mentally, I was like, oh, but it's okay, because I have track world at the end of the season and I will be fit and healthy for that. And that mentally, it just takes the pressure off, because it's like, it's not the only thing in my life. And it means that if this doesn't go well, it's okay, at least I can focus on this. Or sometimes I'm really suffering in a track race, I'm like, oh, I can't wait for the road. It's a bit, and it's still intense, but it's longer, and if you make one mistake in the road, it's not the end of the world. Whereas if you make one mistake on the track, it's very hard to catch it back up.
Yeah.
The same when I'm on the road, it's like so long, and I'm like, oh, I can't wait for a short track race, you know? It's just having this balance, which I love.
So the balance is actually helping you in general, as opposed to kind of hindering one or the other.
Yeah, as long as it's managed well, managed with my team, manage my goals. And really lucky that the track coach Cycling Ireland and my coach in UAE, that they're really communicative and they work together. And yeah, that's what's really paid off, I think, the last 3 years of my development.
NetCredit is here to say yes, because you're more than a credit score. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit applications, subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partners.
If you're the purchasing manager at a manufacturing plant, you know having a trusted partner makes all the difference. That's why, hands down, you count on Grainger for auto reordering. With on-time restocks, your team will have the cut-resistant gloves they need at the start of their shift. And you can end your day knowing they've got safety well in hand. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You're for Female Athlete of the Year for the Olympic Sports Awards. Many will know you from the track, the recent track success. That's also down to your success around the road season and the Tour de Femme this year. Tell us about that, when you find out, your reaction. Were you excited?
Yeah, it's really cool. I think it's just so nice to have cycling get a bit of recognition. We have so many strong riders, and for such a small nation and such a small sport in Ireland, we have a lot of success actually compared to, you know, other nations who it's their main sport. And of course, cycling isn't our main sport in Ireland here, but it's just so cool that we can have it in the news, have it people seeing it in the papers, and then think, oh, I can ride a bike too, or that's a way that I can represent Ireland, that's a way, a pathway to get to the Olympics. And I think for kids growing up on their mountain bike, on their track bike, and they can see that it's a possibility, I think that's really cool. So yeah, I'm really happy that we have this. It's a very versatile awards. There's athletics, there's boxing, there's cycling and rowing, so it's not just the big sports of Ireland, it's also the smaller sports are growing, which is really cool.
Cycling Ireland, of course, are also for an award, as is Ben Healy. I wanted to ask you, and it's, you've kind of brought it up yourself, is there a bit of a storm in the shape of Irish cycling coming in the world of sport, not just Irish sport?
I think so. I think we believe, I think we have the confidence, we have really good infrastructure. For example, we're sitting here in Sport Ireland Institute, and I've been really lucky to have access to this support since I was in school, and able to get the right S&C, able to get the right medical attention. It's the same as like what the services and the staff I get with a professional cycling team. It's the same level. So I think we're really well equipped, and it's just taken a few years to, you know, have that actual confidence that we're not just the small nation who has to just be grateful to be there. We want to be fighting for medals, and we want to be on the podium and hopefully the top step more often than not. And I think, yeah, it's just that belief. And when you see it, then you can be it. And we've seen that with Ben. There's been a lot of under 23s, juniors who are just really stepping up this year. And hopefully we'll see that more with the, with girls starting more cycling, getting into it. And yeah, it's the same for other sports, and we saw with athletics over the last years that people started watching it, and then people have this dream to be, I want to be Rashida, I want to be the next this, and that's just giving a lot of people the belief to be the best version of themselves and to fight for, to fight to be on top, not just on top of themselves but on top of the world.
Yeah, it's great you keep predicting my questions, because I was going to ask about Rashida and Sarah Healy. I think we talked about this before. You were on a youth Olympic team with them years ago. I think it was 2017?
Yep.
I think. Do you still have a relationship there with them? Obviously, because I think there was a couple others on that team who are still involved in athletics in Ireland. And is there a bit of inspiration taken from that and being around those people from such a young age?
Yeah, for sure. I was also running partners with Sarah for a few years. I was, before that Youth Olympics, I was training more to be an 800 meter runner going to the Youth Olympics, but I actually picked up cycling that year. So I was running partners with the likes of Sarah Healy, and yeah, that's just so cool that we came from doing, we also played hockey together, and Rashida I met on that trip, and we were sitting beside each other on the plane, and yeah, now looking back, we're like, whoa, that's crazy that we've achieved all these things and achieved our goals growing up in the sport, and we've had setbacks, but yeah, that's really cool. And yeah, I'd still be in touch a bit with Sarah when we both won Europeans earlier on in the year, and then I was like, that's really cool, and then she was like, that's really cool, and you know, it's just like this bouncing off each other, and I think you do bounce off that energy. And when you see the support that the likes of Rashida and those big names are getting in Ireland, it's just such a, it's such a lift. And I got it the same at the Olympics last year when we were in, I think it was O'Connell Street, the energy that everyone, Ireland is so good at supporting. We even saw it with the soccer, the football last week. Like, it just lifts everyone up, and I think that's something that's so rare. Also, now I'm dating a German, and the, I get the perspective there, and he's like, that's so cool that the country actually believes in you, supports you, and pushes you forward and elevates you, and they also get the win themselves. And I think that's something that's really rare, because in Europe, it's not like that. It's quite rare that some European countries are proud of where they come from. And I think we as Irish are really proud of where we come from, and that makes a big difference.
Yeah, like you had the, your fellow cyclists there ready in the track arena with the flag as soon as you finished, and not to mention the great grab of the flag as well. We might put the clip in if if we bring this up again, but that kind of national pride, that must play into your performance itself. Does that cross your mind when you're going around the track, or if you're on the road?
Not when I'm going in the race, I'm like really in the zone. But beforehand, it's all in my visualization. I'm dreaming and visualizing and singing like the national anthem. For example, the day before, I was singing the national anthem in my head just to prepare myself mentally, even though you don't know what's going to happen, but it's better to be prepared. And or I'm like, yeah, searching for anything with Shamrock, searching for any little sign that I'm like, oh, that's Irish. I'm just like bringing the Irish in me. And I think that gives you good luck.
Is that a superstition or is that just something you've kind of always done and you haven't really thought about?
The visualization?
Yeah, just kind of trying to connect with Ireland before a race.
I've always done it. Like you're always like painting your nails green or you just want to... It's just, yeah, it's some... I don't know what it is, but it's just something that I've always liked doing, or quite often I'm listening to like trad music in my warm-up or something. And maybe that is something that just gets you. You're like, yeah, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do it for my country. And yeah, maybe that is rare. I don't know, but that's just something that I like doing.
Can I pick you up on something you mentioned there? You said you only really started cycling, what age? You would have been 16, 17 at the time.
Yeah.
What made you get into cycling?
So we have family friends, the Mays, they always did cycling. I always did every other sport and was like really competitive, like trying to beat the boys and running and soccer and everything. And I did a lot of dancing, but we always had this family friends who brought us cycling. We went mountain biking. I live in the Wicklow Mountains. It's the perfect place. I cycled to school every day. So I always had a mountain bike. And then I guess, I don't know, maybe the age of like 10 or something, these family friends brought me to mountain bike races. And my mum brought me to these mountain bike nationals like once a year because it was in the field next door, you know, just across the valley. And so I just had that in my system, but not knowing that it was a sport to do. And I always was like, oh, I want to play football for Ireland, or I want to run for Ireland. You know, I had this like ambition inside of me, but I never knew cycling was there.
Yeah.
And then it became hockey. I was trying to get on the Leinster team for hockey. Then I just fell into cycling because I did a triathlon one time because I loved swimming and I loved running. And then I was like, oh, I can, and I got...
I can also do this one.
And then in transition year, I made a few friends who were mountain bikers, and I every weekend was doing much more mountain biking than I was maybe hockey, and maybe it was in the winter or something. And then I was like, oh, I'd love to join a club because I had a bit more free time because of TY. But then I joined Aura Wheelers, which was a road club. And then they were like, oh, we don't really do mountain biking, but here's a bike, or here we'll bring you to this race. And I was like, okay, what is this? And I was so bad. Like, it was like under 16. And I remember I crashed. I was like fifth girl, which was like terrible for me. And every other sport, I was like winning. And I was like, why am I so bad? So that really motivated me. And then the next time I was like third girl, and then I wasn't crashing. And I was like figuring out how to sprint on the bike or whatever. I just remember I didn't have the coordination or whatever, or didn't understand the racing.
Yeah.
And then I did about three more races, and then I won national champs or something like this, and I qualified for the Youth Olympics that way instead of qualifying for running. And I ended up breaking my elbow or something, so I couldn't run. So I then was training on the turbo with one hand, and then I went to the Youth Olympics and I won a medal there, but I was just really fit. So it was a time trial, so it wasn't like a road race.
Really quick turnaround though. Like, you're just thrown into the deep end and then you succeed. You don't just compete.
But I was very fit and strong. And like, I remember as a kid, I was just like waking up at 6 a.m. and doing like 100 push-ups, planks, squats, just in my room, like on my carpet, doing like tricep dips, doing like HIIT workouts. I don't know why.
Where does that come from?
I don't know. Like, I found notebooks of me when we went camping, like my running sets that I was just giving myself as an 8-year-old, like 3 times 800 meters, then do a swim for 5 minutes, then do this. And my mom did sports science growing up. She was very sporty herself, represented Ireland in her own sport, and we were always very active. She did orienteering. Also with the family friends, Una May and Justa May, the ones who brought me into cycling. And so my whole childhood was sport, also because I had a bit of, yeah, a troubled childhood, I would say. And we moved to Wicklow and lived, luckily, in a beautiful place in Wicklow with my grandparents. And sport became like my thing. It was my social thing. It was where I felt free. It was where I felt safe. And it was also what I was good at because I was strong. I think because all I did in my childhood was climb trees,
yeah,
run up mountains, run around fields. That was just, you know, we didn't go to the cinema, we didn't go to restaurants as a family with my mom, my sister. We just went hiking or canoeing. So right, that was just our life.
And do you think the kind of rigorous training you put yourself through at such a young age was kind of like, was it just because you enjoyed it so much, or was it a competitive thing? You're trying to prove yourself? Like, what was it?
Well, for me, the sport I just loved. Like, I went from, for example, I went from an Irish dancing fesh, and then we'd quickly get into the car and I'd wipe all with baby wipes, wipe off all the mud, take out my hair from the plaits, and then I'd go and do it. No, or then I'd go to a football match, and then right, I'd go to an Irish dancing fesh, you know, like one or the other. It'd be like, I just loved it. I loved the competitiveness. I loved the training. I just would dance all evening, like practicing dances, and it was just what I did, and it felt normal, but I loved it.
Yeah, and it's obviously proved to your benefit now. It's obviously worked because you're a great athlete, and your versatility is obviously proved to you. You mentioned Wicklow there. You're a Wicklow woman. Let's confirm that.
Yeah. Proud Wicklow woman.
There's a lot of debate going on around that time, but you're definitely Wicklow.
Yeah, I'm really lucky that I grew up in Enniskerry community. Like, there was community games, there was the soccer club, there was choir. We had so much. Like, we would go from, we'd all be in church singing, and then we'd run down the pit, run down the hill, and we'd go play football in Enniskerry, and then we'd run up to the Irish dancing school, and that was just our weekend. That was what me and my friends did, and that was so fun. And I think, yeah, the Wicklow community is such, we had, like, in our valley, we had so many athletes, and everyone's like, is it in the water? Is it in the hill? Like,
the hills,
to get out
think,
of my
yeah.
drive, you have to do like 500 watts minimum for like 20 seconds or whatever. And everyone was just fit, healthy. We all cycled to school. So I'm really lucky. Like, the Wicklow Mountains is such a beautiful place to live. And we have really amazing neighbours, really amazing community. And I think I just grew up in a really nice environment in Wicklow, and in really nice primary school where we were active. My best friend lived in the field next door. We cycled to school, we ran around the fields barefoot and climbing trees all day. So really grateful to have that environment.
I think it's completely understated, I don't want to dwell on too much, but like, it's completely understated that kind of not abnormal activity when you're younger, but just being out there and just building your own body up in a way is so important.
Yeah, I think it does come from, like, if you come from a family with less money, with less, like, you know, you're not going to the shops to go, like, your Saturday isn't filled going to Dundrum Shopping Centre or going to the cinema with your friends. You're also a bit isolated from the city. So it was the same when I was in secondary school. You know, you had to get a bus in, which was like an hour to get to, even for me to get into Enniskerry, it's a bit of a hack. Like, you either have to walk for 30 minutes or more and then get another bus and then da da da. So you're not going in and going partying. Or if I went in and went to like a party on a Friday after school, then I have to ask my mum to come and get me at like midnight or whatever, which I just wasn't doing because she was alone and that just wasn't a thing. So, you know, you're a bit more isolated in the countryside. You're living out there, and that's what you do in the countryside. You don't have these distractions where you're like, oh, I'll go to the restaurant, I'll go here, blah, blah, blah. Spending money, our life was just spent outdoors and enjoying the nature. And that's, yeah, obviously, when you're comparing in secondary school, when I went to a South Dublin school, really amazing school, sport was also very focused and a priority, but you're in school with people who have completely different lives, where they do have extra money, they go on holidays, they are getting new runners or whatever, and then they're like, oh, whatever. Like, you know, it's a bit of comparison, but then in hindsight, I'm really grateful that I had that background.
Do you feel like you had an underdog type of feel about you growing
up? Yeah, and I also, in sport, I said that to someone, I was like, I love being the underdog, and now you do have to change it when you have a bit of a target on your back, and that does frustrate me sometimes, and I'm learning how to deal with that, because I'm like, just let me go. Like, if you're letting other people go, and if I'm doing an attack, there's like three people that I just know will always follow me, even if I'm not even, you know, competitive.
Yeah.
If I've had a bad race or something. But yeah, I like that feeling where you don't feel like you have pressure. You can just enjoy and take the most of the opportunity in any moment, I guess.
Yeah, we spoke a bit about the baby. I'm branding it as the baby step philosophy.
Yes,
it's something that you talk about a lot.
Yeah.
And I don't think it, maybe not something you think about, but it's just something you've developed.
Mm.
Can you tell me what that is and kind of where it comes from?
I guess, like, you at the end of the day, you have this like big goal. I want to be Olympic champion. I want to be this, this. But for me, that's not what I wake up and I'm like, okay, I have to do this because I want to be this, this, and this. That's not why I do it. That's not what motivates me in the morning. I just love what I do. And then when I came into the sport, like professionally and at a senior level 2-3 years ago after having my illness, and I'm at the bottom, like really at the bottom, even in the Irish squad, which is a small squad, and we're not ranked anywhere. We weren't ranked anywhere really in the world, and I'm getting dropped in sessions. I can't do what they're doing. I can't do the same watts. So you're really at the bottom. So yeah, you have to have this like ladder of baby steps, just like, okay, it's just getting a little bit better every month, every season, every year. But also having the belief that you'll get there. That's what I've always had, even when I was... And you have to be a bit delusional where you're like, well, yeah, I can do that, but even if you haven't proved it. And I had this also like coming in as a junior where I hadn't the experience on the track. You just have to fake it until you make it, like where you're like, I'm just going to race like they're racing, like they know what they're doing.
Yeah.
If I pretend like I know what I'm doing, I'll act like I know what I'm doing, and then you can do it.
Yeah.
And I think... there's that baby step mentality is just like not putting the pressure on myself to get there super fast. I like the journey. I like the progress. I like not being amazing and then getting to a place where every time it's getting better, every year it's getting better. And that's just the process that I really enjoy.
It's like balancing having high expectations of yourself, but then also not getting carried away when you hit those expectations. Because I should probably explain, you described the World Championship and the Tour de Femme experiences, just baby steps, even though in our eyes they're colossal things, really, because it strides their history. But to you, you don't want to get too carried away because you still have expectations to go further.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because I want to go there and, like, me going there for my first time and not having any pressure, not having any expectation, that is a baby step, instead of going there maybe hopefully in a few years' time where it's like, whoa, okay, you came here and this is a huge goal for you and you're expected to win and everyone's just trying to beat you. That's a completely different mindset to what I've been going through this year, where it's every race was the first time on the road that I did. When I'm surrounded by everyone in my bus or everyone in the peloton who's done this race maybe 5 times, and I'm like, so what? Any tips, blah, blah, blah. And even if the team are working for me, for example, when I'm the leader of this specific race, I'm still quite often the one who knows the least about this race or about a lot of things, because I am still learning and I am still baby steps into the sport compared to a lot of people who've grown up in the sport or have been professional on the road for a few years.
You mentioned you had a troubled childhood and you had an illness a couple of years ago that kind of set you back in your sporting career. Have you taken time to be proud of where you are now? Have you let yourself do that? Because I know you don't want to get carried away with certain achievements, but you must be somewhat grateful to yourself and how far you've come.
Yeah, every day I'm saying to myself, I'm so grateful to be here. I'm so grateful to be healthy. I'm grateful to be living this life. It feels like a huge privilege. I have freedom in my life. I have support. I can travel. I can live in different places. I can meet new people. And it's all thanks to people like my mom, who really just supported my sister and I without, like, I don't know how to, like, through thick and thin, and also giving us opportunities. And that's why sport, I think, is so important, because even when you don't have the funding or whatever, if you can get into your communities and you can give your children that opportunity to just make friends, learn skills, grow as a person, have goals and achieve goals, then that's like the coolest thing ever. So yeah, every day I'm waking up and I'm like, well, it's so, yeah, I'm grateful to be here and I'm grateful to do this as my job. That's incredible.
So you haven't won Female Athlete of the Year just yet, but you do have your most recent award in the room with us.
I do.
If you want to grab it there. We had a look at it over Zoom last time.
So in cycling, we get to wear a jersey, which is,
jersey.
I don't know why other sports don't do this. Like, I think athletics should definitely, they do something like with bib numbers or something, but where you get to wear a rainbow jersey, and that's just a whole like psychology in itself, that you're like over the rainbows, you're in the magical land where, and you get to really be proud to wear these, and you can wear them for the rest of your life on your sleeve.
You've reached a pot of gold.
Yeah. So that's really cool. And then Cycling Ireland are getting this made up, like a skin suit made up, so I can race that in the specific event next year.
The main
and
piece.
And then this is the, this is her.
You might show the camera there, because it probably won't do justice, but it is massive. It is a huge medal.
It's really beautiful.
Where is that going now? Is that going to your mom? You know, you've spoken about her importance.
I don't know. I'll see if I have any luggage space to bring it back.
It's a weird thing with athletes that, like, you would think the medal is such a precious thing, but when you ask a lot of high profile athletes, they're like, I actually don't know where my all-star award is, or my, you know, whatever it is.
Yeah, I think it's something for the future that you'll look back on and be like, but I think we're so like, go, go, go. We're already looking at the next goal. We're already training for the next season, that it's not that we can't appreciate it. Like, this is literally every cyclist's dream to win a gold medal at the World Championships for the track is the pinnacle.
Yeah.
And that's not to say that I'm not like aware of that or I'm not appreciating that, but yeah, it's also, I don't do it for the material things. I don't do it for just the gold medal. Of course, that's what I'm dreaming of and visualizing the night before. I'm like feeling the weight of it. But yeah, then I'm still waking up like eager to train, eager to go for the next thing.
Just have two last ones. 2026, what does that look like for Lara Gillespie?
Still a little bit in the unknown right now. We have our December camp with the road team next year. I'll definitely be aiming for the track worlds again the end of the year there in China, same time as this year. Unfortunately, I think I'll be missing the European champs, so I can't defend my European title next year, which is a bit sad. But I'm really aiming for the early classics, also the late Cobbley classics is what I really want to go for. Last year was really my debut into the fire as a world tour rider. Yeah, like I said, every race was my first time doing it, my first Roubaix, my first Nieuwsblad, like everything was first. And now
and
this time I'm going in and I'm really, I want to perform. Last year I did a lot, like two races a week, and this year I think I'll be doing more like peaking for the specific races. And I'm excited for that.
And it's a good while away still, but LA, how much is that in your mind now?
Oh, a lot. I mean, it's really, already, it's only like, 2.5 years away or something?
Yeah,
like, it's actually
like
really
that,
close. I think you're always, maybe it's not everyone, but I'm always thinking in 4-year cycles, and already, even before Paris, I was thinking of LA and 32. Like, you're always just thinking, like, because you have to also plan your life a little bit.
Yeah.
And, so yeah, and the qualifying already starts next year, so it's already like boom, 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 boom. And the first qualifying, I'm pretty sure, is China at Track Worlds. So I'll be going more for the track, because the road race is quite hilly. So the track will be the goal there for the Olympic medal, hopefully. And so you have to qualify already starting from next October, but that means you also have to qualify into that qualifying race. So then, you know, the whole process, it's all points, it's all timings, it's all management. So yeah, you have to think about it, and you're thinking, oh, I'm already thinking about bikes, equipment, what I need to do, who I need to beat.